Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome back to the Prepoint Pod. So today you've just got me, Louise, and what I thought I would spend some time talking about is rest and recovery. I guess something that's sort of a recurring theme in, you know, consults that I'll do with patients or education sessions that I run with dancers, especially young dancers, so adolescent dancers. It tends to be a topic that comes up a lot, and it's such an easy thing to implement positive change for improving performance, but also preventing injury and keeping yourself fresh and keeping your dancing progressing rather than stagnating or going backwards. So before I get too off track and start talking around and around in circles, I just wanted to cover a couple of really basic reasons why recovery is important. So recovery basically gives your body the chance to repair tissue. What is tissue, you might ask? Tissue just means parts of your body. So things like muscles, tendons, bone, and ligaments as well. So when we train, when we dance, when we rehearse, our body is under stress effectively. So we're using muscles, we're fatiguing muscles. The muscles kind of get a little bit damaged and they break down and they have to change and adapt. So there's a whole cycle where our body tries to repair the tissue that has just been under pressure or under stress when we're dancing. And that's a really normal thing. It's supposed to happen. When we train, that's the whole purpose of training. And effectively, when it works well, it helps us to build strength and develop skill. So, you know, obviously that's why we go to dance classes and rehearse. So recovery, though, is important after you have those sessions to make sure that that process can actually occur. Because if you don't give your body enough time to keep rejuvenating after it's worked really hard, then you kind of don't get that repair of the building blocks that actually then gives you that extra buffer to keep going. So I suppose one of the things that, you know, that dancers often get frustrated by is the fact that they're not progressing quickly enough, or they're not making quick enough progress, or there's, you know, they're trying to make progress in such a short space of time that might even be a little bit unrealistic. You know, it actually takes weeks to months to see proper strength develop and change. So you're not necessarily going to see an improvement week to week or even day to day, which I think is something that dancers often think is going to happen. So there's something for you. We recover because we need our bodies to repair themselves, basically. And there are all sorts of things that you can do in recovery to help that process be the best it can be. But I think we'll just touch on another reason why recovery is important, and that is for growing. If you're 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, if you're an adolescent, then you are, or a teenager, then you are growing. You're still growing. And that is such an important process that just has to happen. If you were shrinking, then I'd be pretty worried. But also, you are expected to grow every year, a few centimeters, in fact, quite a lot. And so if you're not growing, then that's also something to be aware of. And I guess giving yourself enough recovery and good quality recovery is going to help with that process. Another really important reason to recover is obviously just for your mental health. So when we spend so much time doing one activity continuously, we don't really give ourselves space to develop as human beings. We don't give ourselves time to spend with family and friends. We don't give ourselves time to focus maybe on academic studies. We don't give ourselves time to try other hobbies. And there could be things that actually make your dancing much better. For example, you might learn a musical instrument, or you might be a visual artist. And these things are actually really important for developing your dancing, because they kind of broaden your creative horizons. Yeah. And, you know, having good social interaction. Well, that's so important, because when you have to interact socially on stage and act certain feelings and emotions, you want to actually have had experience in life where you've had these rich interactions with other people. So these are all sorts of things, sort of reasons why I suppose recovery is important. The other thing I wanted to touch on too, because I'm saying rest and recovery, and sometimes when I say rest and recovery, people assume that that means rest and recovery as in recovery from an injury. So rehabilitating an injury is recovery, or that you have to be injured to recover. But recovery is actually just a practice that you need to do every day as a dancer, especially as a dancer, you know, who's wanting to perform, you know, to your peak ability. And whether that's because you want to audition for a full-time school, or if you're already in a full-time school and you want to audition for a company, or if you're wanting to compete in a Steadfords or in competitions or perform on stage in, you know, youth ballet productions, that sort of thing. So recovery and rehabilitation, they're actually two separate things. So you don't need to be injured to recover. Whereas you know, when you're rehabilitating an injury, usually that means that there is an injury. So there are two different things, recovery and rehabilitation, definitely two different things. So I guess you're probably thinking to yourself right now, okay, this makes sense. I need to give myself recovery time. I need to recover. But how do I fit that in? And how much of it do I have to do? And when do I do it? And how do I do it? And all these things that are probably floating through your head. So for young dancers, I think there are a lot of challenges when it comes to implementing good recovery strategies. And when I say recovery, the things that I actually mean are things like getting enough sleep at night. So for young people, you need over 8 hours of sleep, 8 to 10 hours of sleep, even longer if you're younger than 10 years old. So you need that precious shut-eye time. Other things would be things like making sure you're fueling enough. So recovery might mean making sure that you have really balanced meals, that you have snacks in between your dance lessons, and that you're thinking about the quality of those snacks and the quantity of them as well. Quite often I'll meet dancers who are not eating enough, and then that becomes really hard because their bodies don't have enough energy or enough fuel to actually rebuild the tissue that has been under stress or pressure with dance training. And probably the best way to know whether you're eating the right things is actually to see a sports dietitian. So dance dietitians don't exist yet, although there are sports dietitians who specialize in treating dancers. And so probably that would be my best suggestion on that front. Recovery, as I mentioned before, means doing things for your mental health. Recovery is just giving your body a break from dancing. And that could be watching a movie. It could be playing with your dog. It could be reading a book. It could be something that's a bit chill that's not necessarily physical activity. There are some types of physical activity, and this is where it gets confusing, that can almost be considered a type of active recovery. So things like stretching, going for a gentle walk, floating around in the pool. If you're where I am today, it's a very hot day. So floating around in the pool sounds like a really great recovery strategy. But that doesn't mean going to the pool and swimming 2 kilometers. And it doesn't necessarily mean going for a really fast, brisk walk to try and get your heart rate up, uphills. You know, and it doesn't necessarily mean doing like hot yoga for 2 hours. So I think it can be really confusing sometimes, because some of the activities that dancers do that can be considered recovery, they're actually not recovery. They're actually pushing your body as hard as they would be if you were doing a ballet class, if not harder. And that is actually cross training, which is a whole new talk. So thinking about the physical things that you're doing on your rest days. So the other part of recovery that's important is programming your classes, or I guess the planning of where the classes you do go in your week around the other things you have to do, and vice versa, planning the other things you have to do in your week around your ballet. And then at the very top of sort of recovery, the little extra bells and whistles that we would do for recovery would be things like having a massage, or things like compression boots or ice baths. All of those things, they're like the cherry on top of the cake. So they're things that are really good to have, but you can still have the cake and the icing without the cherry on top. And there's no point in just having a cherry if you've got no cake and no icing. So going back to the icing, that's kind of like your, like, when do I do my training? What days do I have dance? What days do I have off from dance? What are the hard days of dance? What are the easy days of dance? What are the days where I do dance in the afternoon, but I'm also involved in like a school troupe performance, for example? You know, you might have multiple sessions in one day. So thinking about where you program in your training. And then the cake layer, they're the things we were talking about before. The cake layer are things like sleep, nutrition, and mental health. So we've talked about, I guess, like stacking all of the recovery strategies on top of one another. There are lots of challenges for young dancers. And I think probably the most obvious one is the fact that most of you need to go to school. I say it's a challenge. It's not really a challenge. It's actually a necessity. Usually when you're a teenager, you're doing some form of academic work, academic study. And that's important for you to develop as a person, as a functioning member of society. I don't think you would meet many dancers who would say, who are dancing professionally, who would say, I really wish I hadn't gone to school. Most of the people that I speak to actually say, look, I didn't go to school, or I didn't apply myself at school, or I didn't have the chance to put as much effort into school as I would have liked to. And I regret that. So school is a challenge, but it's a necessity. So we have to work out how we're going to fit dance and recovery and other things in around school. So the other thing that becomes a challenge for young dancers is obviously timetabling. When are the classes going? that can be due to so many different factors, like with your dance teachers, having multiple classes at the same time, when the teachers are available. You know, you might learn from one school like a specific style of dance and then in another school a different style of dance. And it depends on how those things intertwine. And the other thing about timetabling is also if you have brothers and sisters, like what do they do? What are their hobbies? Like, are they also dancers? Do they play other sports? How does mum and dad get them from A to B to C to D to E? Timetabling your timetable, but timetabling your family timetable is also something that can be a real challenge in terms of getting in enough recovery time. Competitions are definitely something that I see as something that is obviously so important for dancers to do because they're that practice in performing, but they become really challenging when there might be multiple competitions, you know, in a term and they're all one weekend after another, or there might be multiple weekends of competitions that you're involved in. You might be doing team competitions as well as solo competitions. That's really challenging. And with that also comes, you know, guest teachers that might visit your studio on specific days, and they might be scheduled in a day when everyone can attend, and that day is usually Sunday. So that becomes a real challenge because it's really hard to fit recovery in. Performing, obviously, usually when we perform as dancers, we perform at night, and that means that maybe we don't get the same sleep that we're used to. There are a lot of challenges that young dancers face when they're thinking about how we're going to fit recovery in. I think the next thing that sometimes I surprise people when I suggest this is having a rest day, a day that is just a rest day. How do we fit in one day of rest per week for every dancer? I like to start with that as a target. And then some dancers, specifically maybe younger dancers or maybe dancers who are coming back from an injury, they might need 2 days. They might need 2.5 days of rest and recovery so that their injuries can heal and so that their bodies can grow and so that their bodies have the chance to repair the tissue that will help them build strength and develop skill. So one of the things that I really like to do with groups of dancers and sometimes my patients is just to find a blank calendar page, and that maybe goes for the next 1 or 2 months. Maybe it goes for a school term. You could do this for several months if you really wanted to. And if you're in a place where you can, pull out a piece of paper and make a table for yourself.
I actually have uploaded a PDF of a month if you would like to play along and plan recovery with me over this next little part of the podcast. And the link to that PDF should be in the show notes.
Or if you're at a computer and you like doing things on iPads or computers, just construct yourself a table that kind of looks like a calendar. So you've got 7 columns, one for every day of the week, and then make some weeks that are rows. You could put the dates in, you could put the days in, just so that you kind of know, you know, what's coming up. And once you've got that calendar sort of set up, I want you to write down all the days that you know that you'll have some kind of dance or some kind of sport. It doesn't matter if it's 1 hour or 4 hours or the whole day. It doesn't matter if it's easy or hard. I want you to put down on your calendar all the days that you know you've got dance or sport or both. And this might take a little bit of time. You might have to do things like think about maybe when you've got an exam scheduled. You might have to think about times that you have performances scheduled. Maybe if you're entering in competitions, you might need to think about the days that you have competitions. You might need to think about maybe school sports days. You might need to think about netball carnivals. So whatever it is that keeps you physically active and you consider training, write it down on your calendar. So once you've done that, I want you to have a look Do you have any days where there's nothing scheduled for the next, 3, 4, 5 weeks? Do you have at least one day that is blank, that has nothing on it? For a lot of people, that might be Sunday. Sunday might be your default rest day. Maybe you always do a sport on a Sunday, or maybe you always have dance on Sunday, but maybe Wednesday is just a day where you get up and you go to school and you come home and you do your homework. So that would be considered a rest day as well, because you're not doing any sport or dance. So if you have a blank space every single week, well done. You're already creating space for yourself to recover, which is great. And then now it's about creating opportunities for you to actually optimize your recovery. So planning recovery activities on your rest day, but you might also want to scatter a few of them through the week. So maybe you want to make sure that you get a bit of extra sleep on one particular day because you know that you can, you have a bit of time. Or maybe you want to have some cherry activities that you do. So things like massages, or maybe you like to float in the pool and maybe you want to make sure that you do that after the really hard day that you have with all your troops. So you plan in your pool float. If you're looking at your calendar and you're saying to yourself, well, I don't actually have a rest day every single week. I mean, I do normally. Normally I have Sundays off. So I've got Sundays off for 2 weeks here, but then in the third week, I actually have an Estedford and I'm performing on Sunday. And I know that day is going to be a really long day, full of waiting around for my performances, but I know I'm in like 4 troops. So that means that I'm going to be thinking about, the routines, and I'm going to be hanging out with my friends, and we're all going to be walking around the venue, and we're all going to be hyping each other up, and we're all going to be ready to go on stage, but we're all going to be really nervous and really excited. And that's so cool. That's so great. It's awesome that you get a chance to perform. That day is going to be a really big day. So I don't really think you can include that as a recovery day. So this is where it gets tricky, because your usual day of rest is actually one of the really more intense days that you're going to have that whole week. So this is where we have to get a little bit creative. We have to have a look at the week before you have that really intense day on your rest day. And we have to have a look at the week after you have a really intense day on your rest day. And we have to say, in all honesty, which of the days in the week, either before or after, can I have as a rest day? The ideal scenario would be that, say, if you're performing on Sunday in an Estedford, and that's a really big day, the ideal scenario would be that you give yourself the Monday off dance. And even though that might be really tricky to do because you really love dance, in the long run, it's going to mean you can do more dance because you're probably less likely to get injured because you've given yourself a rest day. Now, if you're saying to yourself, but that Monday night, that's my syllabus class, I can't miss that because then I won't know my exam work, have a look at the Tuesday. Maybe Tuesday is actually a netball day, and maybe netball is something you do for cross training. So maybe it's not as important as missing dance. So maybe on Tuesday, you could just give it a rest from netball. Or maybe it's a class that you're doing because you want to dance up a level and you want to learn the next level up. So it could be that you just decide, maybe you know you're going to be really tired and fatigued, so it's probably not the right week to prioritize going to that class. There are lots of different ways that you can work it. If it gets to the point where you think, I actually can't miss this class and I don't know where I'm going to have my rest day, that would be when you need to have a conversation with your teacher or your parents about how to make that happen. Because taking this kind of proactive approach can mean that you avoid injury later on. And it also means that the dance that you do is going to be better quality dance because you've had time for your muscles and joints and bones for that tissue to repair itself, which will actually help you to build strength and then develop the skills that you need to be a better dancer. So now for people who already have one rest day, well done, by the way, where could you actually fit in another rest day? And this might not need to be every single week, but maybe every 2 or 3 weeks, you might give yourself 2 days off. How could you fit in a little bit of extra recovery time? It's a real challenge, but I really love doing this exercise with groups because they all give each other ideas and they all contribute to the discussion about why recovery is important. And sometimes they'll even come up with things I haven't thought of myself, which is a great learning experience for me. So that's my little challenge for you. This is my little solo episode. I hope it's okay that I've just talked at you for almost half an hour about rest and recovery. But I hope I've also given you a nice little practical task to do with pen and paper or on a table at the computer, just to make sure that you're planning your rest and recovery with as much purpose as you're planning your dance training and your competitions and performing. Because in the end, it's going to mean you can dance better for longer, and it means that you can keep developing your skills, you can keep growing, and basically it's going to help your dancing in the long run. Thank you very much for listening. If you have any questions about this episode or any of the other episodes and you would like me to elaborate, or maybe you're a dance teacher and you're listening to this and you're thinking, oh, I need to get my students to do this so that they're not having as many injuries or they're not as tired or fatigued or burnt out, then feel free to jump on my Instagram and get in touch. My Instagram is thepreepointphysio, and I'm really looking forward to you tuning in to the next Prepoint pod. Have a great day.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.